Now stay tuned for To Your Health, where food is on the table and center stage. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of sustainable fine dining in the downtown mall. And by Rebecca's Natural Foods in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. Now here is your host, MC Blair.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning, guys? Here we are, To Your Health, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and I am thrilled. We've got two doctors today from Direct Primary Care. It's a new, health care that's kind of sweeping the nation, and we actually have one right here in Charlottesville. We have Rebecca Downey and Lindsay Neal. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello. Good to be here.
Yes. Okay. Excellent. And Lindsay?
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. We've got a lot of good information to give you guys today. And let's get started. So I was looking at your website, and I was saying, well, what is Direct Primary Care? And you said modern medicine with an old-fashioned doctor-patient relationship. So tell us about that. Either one.
Lindsay's going to take this.
Okay.
So Direct Primary Care is, it's a simple answer to a complicated, complex question, mm-hmm. which is it's kind of the modern evolution of the doctor-patient relationship. We're kind of going back to the relationship that used to be present before the medical system in America switched to an insurance system.
Well, I remember that as a child in the 50s,
right?
And that's what it was. The doctor would come to the house.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So that's what we're going for. Mm-hmm. The direct part of the direct primary care actually is a reference to the payment model. So technically, you enter into a relationship with a physician where you're paying the physician directly instead of paying the insurance company that turns around and pays the physician. So you're eliminating that insurance middleman completely. Mm-hmm. So what we are is a membership-based primary care clinic. It's kind of like Netflix. Mm-hmm. So you pay a monthly fee. It's the same monthly fee every month. And then all the services that you need for primary care is included. So you have no charge for the visit. You have no copay. If you come in and we see you and you need an EKG, then we do an EKG, and you don't pay an extra payment for that.
Oh, my.
If you come in and you need like a mole removed, or you have something that's unusual that we're worried about, we need to send away, we'll just cut that off and no charge for that. We won't charge you to like clean the cerumen out of your ears. We'll do any sort of procedure or any sort of primary care service that you need would be included with that monthly membership fee. And the goal is that if you don't have the barrier to coming in, like you don't have to pay a copay to come in, then you're going to come in more often. We're going to get to know you better. We're going to spend more time with you. We're going to be able to not just focus on the problems and actually like work on wellness, like losing weight, stopping smoking,
nutrition,
exercise. Exactly. So like the goal is to with a monthly fee, we eliminate the need to just only have 7-minute mm-hmm. visits.
Right.
It's problem focused.
And I mentioned this to a couple of folks, and they said, "Oh yeah, concierge medicine."
Right.
So what's the? I know that you are not that,
right.
But what is the difference?
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion between what concierge and DPC is, and mm-hmm. they're very different models. Concierge medicine accepts insurance. DPC does not accept insurance. And by eliminating insurance, we keep our overhead low, and that allows us to spend more time with patients. In concierge medicine, you're paying a premium. So on top of your insurance payments, you're paying a very high cost to essentially jump the line. And you're still going to probably have bills from the insurance company that aren't covered. They do say that you have better access to your physician, and they have other benefits. But do you want to jump in, Lindsay?
Yeah, so what they call direct primary care is blue-collar concierge.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of the bonuses of concierge without having to pay this outrageous amount of money. So, like, concierge was created as an answer for rich and famous people, like boutique medicine, in order for them to get the best customer service. But what we're doing is we're actually giving you that excellent customer service without having to pay the outrageous rich and famous price tag.
And to open it up to more people. We're trying to be inclusive, not exclusive.
That sounds good to me. So what brought this? What, you know, was you know, reading some information, I saw that the we say that the healthcare system is broken, which is an understatement. But it kind of started with the EMRs, the electronic medical records, sort of. I mean,
it was like a perfect storm. So
yeah,
a lot of things
okay.
happened in the 90s. The mid to later 90s. So there was the development of CPT codes, which are billing codes.
Right.
And, you know, those were helpful in terms of, like, you know, figuring out what something was done. But a whole industry has grown up and regulations have grown up around CPT codes. And then there was the electronic medical record, which, you know, doctors all over the world pull their hair out over. And again, more regulations, other, you know, checking the boxes on this. And, you know, so much time spent trying to complete these electronic medical records. And then HMOs became the thing. So suddenly insurance companies were, you know, putting all these rules for the people they were insuring into which doctors you could see. You had to see doctors who were in their practices,
in network.
So with all, and also there was a consolidation of the medical markets. So with all those things came the perfect storm, and I unfortunately was in residency during that time.
Oh,
so
boy.
Came out into the new world.
Well, I understand, and just on the surface, when I first heard about EMRs, my wife was actually working for University of Virginia at the data warehouse where she would design the data warehouse and all that, and that was the EMR. And on the surface, it sounded like a good idea because then doctors had one central place and they could see your whole history. But then I look into it and I see it takes 2 hours. Per hour of patient,
yeah,
to log into the EMR. When do they have the time?
We don't.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. I think the intentions initially were good.
Sure,
you know,
were.
And there are good things with EMRs. Mm-hmm. We do have, you know, you can actually read the handwriting, and you,
right.
you know. You should be able to know what meds are on there and allergies and, you know, med-med interactions and specialist notes. Those are all great things. It doesn't necessarily happen that way. There are a lot of errors in terms of med lists and other things. But it was the box checking and the insurance companies and the government coming in and saying you have to do this, this, and this that become a problem.
And then the other thing I noticed, and I'll get right there, but when I would go to the doctor, the entire time, he never looked at me.
Right.
He was just always entering.
Yes.
And like, let's be completely honest here. I mean, we have an electronic health record that we're going to use for
sure.
our care. You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
We are taking the good parts of it and utilizing it in a way that helps the patient, the physician-patient relationship.
Because it's all about that.
Right. Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
We had looked at a lot of this information and found out there were a lot of angry doctors, and understandably so, because the system is full of greed and all sorts of other things that we know about, and you know the doctor can't spend enough time with the patient, and yeah, I would be upset too, because to me that's why doctors get into the field to begin with, is to help.
Well, that's part of it. I think that's part of there's a multitude of reasons why Rebecca and I are both very interested in this model and mm-hmm. have chosen it as our model, which is that, you know, we want to make this easier on the patient. So if once we know the patient really well, if there's something that comes up and they don't need to come in to see us, then we're going to handle it over the phone or over text messaging or over telemedicine. Like the typical medical model now with insurance is like you have a UTI or you have symptoms that are obviously a UTI, then you have to go in to see the physician because the physician and the clinic won't get paid for that service unless you actually physically go in face to face.
Right.
So that's what we're hoping to help patients like utilize the system and get out of it what they need better by not necessarily having to come in all the time
mm-hmm.
also.
Because people are busy. They're working.
Right.
They have other things to do.
Yeah.
I kind of simplified DPC also into like four kind of big ideas, which is like the relationship, easier access, transparency. So we're going to talk about everything. You're going to know what's coming, going on with your orders and your cost, and then cost reduction. So what Rebecca and I's, like, one of our main goals is to make sure that we utilize what we know about the system and how to use the system to...
For the patient's benefit.
For the patients mm-hmm. to reduce their costs. Mm-hmm. So we're going to utilize, like, our relationships with certain places and, you know, GoodRx and other different ways to pay for things in order to help reduce the out-of-pocket costs, because the vast majority of people have these high-deductible plans. And,
right.
And you have this $3,000 deductible, out-of-pocket deductible, and you're never going to meet that unless you have a catastrophe, you know? So if you pay for our monthly service, you're going to actually be less out-of-pocket ultimately than the $3,000 out of deductible. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
So you know, the first question that came to my mind was, well, I have insurance, and why would I need, I mean, I'm already paying a premium, so why would I want to pay an additional, you know, between $50 and $100 a month, depending on my age? Why would I want to pay that?
Yeah, so, you know, it's different for different people. So 50% of people right now have what, for all intents and purposes, is a catastrophic care, because the deductible is so high that you'll never meet it. So this way, yes, you're putting some money out monthly, but, you know, we never need a doctor till we need a doctor, right?
Right.
And also because preventative care is important. And if you're avoiding going to the physician because you don't want to pay, you know, $250 for a 7-minute visit, understandably so,
right.
You know, that's going to put you off if you have your 7 minutes and then the doctor says, oh, by the way, we can't address, you know, the other four issues you have, come back, you know, in a month. So it's frustrating for patients and it gets very expensive. If you have insurance, it's still great because it offers a relationship with a physician that I think you're going to find is hard-pressed to have in our current fee-for-service system. So if you value that relationship, if you have complex medical problems where you need to be seen frequently, it doesn't matter how many times we need to see you a month, it's the same cost. If we see you 4 times or 1 time or 0 times that month, it's going to be the same cost. So for people who need more intensive monitoring, that's great. And for people who have no insurance, which we do not recommend, everyone should have some kind of insurance. We believe in health care for all, just not necessarily Medicare for all. If you don't have insurance, this is a great way. Or if you can use your health share to pay for it now, which is terrific. That just passed. Or if you have one of these kind of religious exempt organizations like Liberty or other ones, you can partner with that, and that's a good pairing for it.
Well, that sounds great.
So there are three types of kind of patients that would utilize direct primary care, or there's actually a million, anyone.
Or 3 million.
The way I kind of simplify it, though,
right.
Like you have people who have insurance who want better access. You have people with high deductible plan who are going to pay a lot out of pocket anyway, and so by becoming a member with us, they'll actually pay less out of pocket. And then you have people with no insurance who, like, you know, need care, and this is a way for them to get it. And then you also have the really, you know, boutique-y, concierge-ish kind of people who have great insurance who just want better access and best customer service.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of it is that we treat all of those people the exact same. They all get the same level of
care.
Customer service.
Oh, that's really cool.
And from the patient perspective, like, I have a big list of things that, like, I feel like are highlights, which is you have easy access to your physician. You'll get our, you know, we paid for a communication service called Spruce, which is you'll get like a patient portal app on your phone where you can actually text message with us, and that's secure, so it actually will populate into our electronic health record. I mean, our goal is to use technology in a way to make the patient experience better and to make our experience better. And one of those things is that we chose which technology Rebecca and I chose which ones to use. Like, we're not stuck with whatever, like, the hospital system chose, mm-hmm. you know.
Right. So, that's huge.
I just want to add one last point. Even if you have insurance, because of copays, even if you're only paying copays, if you go frequently, or if you are on a lot of medications, even if insurance is paying for a large percentage of it, but not all of it, direct primary care can really help to reduce those costs that you're paying out of pocket, and sometimes even pay for itself, your membership itself, in the savings you will have.
Oh my. No, that's pretty cool.
We can give you some examples.
Okay. I definitely want that. And of course, one of the things I was thinking of, you were talking about regular doctor's visits, is the waiting room dilemma. And everybody they joke about it. They say, well, yeah, I had a doctor's appointment yesterday. I spent an hour and a half in the waiting room waiting to be seen. Mm-hmm. And I know that that doesn't exist with you guys. You've eliminated that.
Yes.
Which is huge.
Yes.
We challenge you that when you come and sit in our waiting room, we want you to start your cell phone timer to see how long it takes. And then we're going to keep a running tally.
Pizza within 10 minutes or whatever.
And our office is going to look more like a very friendly coffee shop than a doctor's office. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's mm-hmm. really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not open yet, but can't wait to share it.
We're getting there. What's the prospective opening date?
September 3rd.
September 3rd. So that'll go.
That's a hard date.
That is. That's
the hard date.
Is it really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not like a restaurant where it goes.
Yeah.
You know, we open it.
For our patients listening, it is September 3rd.
September 3rd. Absolutely. Yeah. You wanted to add a couple of things to that.
So we just pulled off, we have some direct care physician sites that we belong to, and, you know, the numbers will change depending on what city you're on and or in, living in and, you know, week to week. But, you know, for example, like a hypertension medicine like lisinopril, so for 100 tablets, we can get it for $1.26.
Our goal is to sell, to dispense medication, the like 50 top, you know, prescribed medications, like, out of our office for wholesale prices. So most patients will be able to
walk out
with their medication and actually save the cost of the monthly premium, probably in just their medication.
I was just going to say, because I, you know, some of the medications that my wife takes is just very expensive. If mm-hmm. it was out of pocket, like $350 mm-hmm. For Symbicort.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
Our we will say that Virginia is has a lot of regulations on physician dispensing that we're kind of jumping through. So we may not be dispensing meds immediately on September 3rd, but that is something that's going to happen as a part of our DPC.
Well, it just really makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to the whole, you know, preventative care like diet. You talk about diet, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
All the time, right?
Nutrition, diet, exercise, sleep.
Right.
You know, all these things that are the foundation of health. I mean, the other stuff is secondary. You have to have those things down. And to have the time to talk about them is crucial, because we are missing that mark in healthcare.
Well, I read this doctor... Terry Walls, WALS, and she wrote a book called Minding Your Mitochondria.
Yeah.
And in that, she explains how you take care of your mitochondria, and if your mitochondria are healthy, your cells will be healthy, and if your cells are healthy, you're healthy. You know, you mm-hmm. don't get cancer, you don't get any of that autoimmune or any of that sort of thing.
And you can certainly decrease the risk. Yes, you certainly decrease the risk.
You don't cure it. You know, we don't use that word, right, in science. But,
But nutrition, sleep, you know, your mental health, it has such a profound impact on all aspects of your life. Well, and so...
Yeah, and if you're disease-free or at least... symptom free, mm-hmm. then your mental health
so
will
much
improve.
Yeah,
less stress. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And man, thank goodness for you guys. You know, this is just amazing. And just to let you guys know that one of the problems in our medicine is in the hospitals. Over the past 40 years, we have gotten 32 times more administrators. in hospitals for every single, is like an administrator for everything, you know, and it's just overloaded. I just see that if it was a cartoon, it would be this big old, you know, like the Pillsbury Doughboy, only three times bigger, you know?
No, it feels like that. And it's just the layers and layers of bureaucracy and all the hoops we need to jump through in all our spare time to, you know, meet this, you know, this kind of course they want us to take or check off. And it's just, it can be super time consuming.
I just wanted, we have a hard break here, and we'll be back, folks. I'm really excited. And we're back. This is MC Blair, and I am talking with Drs. Lindsay Neal and Rebecca Downey from Direct Primary Care, only on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And Lindsay, you were getting ready to say something really cool, I know. No, you have no idea.
No. I have no idea.
Yeah, right.
I can't remember exactly where we were before the break, but there's several other things I'd like to mention about the patient perspective of Charlottesville Direct Primary Care, or just Direct Primary Care in general. There's several Direct Primary Care docs in Charlottesville other than us who have been unbelievable mentors to us. So go on the DPC Mapper, which is the dpcfrontier.com, and even if you're not in Charlottesville and you're around the country and you want to find someone who's practicing direct primary care for you to go see, that's the best way to find someone locally for you. You can put in your zip code and list all of the DPC clinics in your area. But I kind of want to go back to kind of the list of things that, from a patient perspective, is a draw. You know, I mentioned before the easy access via phone or text or email or telemedicine, the same day or next day appointments. So we want you to be able to call us and get in to see us. And we feel like that reduces kind of stress and anxiety for people, too, if you call and you can just get an appointment immediately. Longer appointments, we're always going to schedule about an hour appointment for, like, annual physical exams. But then any follow-up appointment, it's going to be 30 minutes. And chances are you're going to get more than that, depending on what you need. But we can see you frequently, too, so we can bring you back if we need to. Online scheduling, so you can go on and just make your appointment without talking to anyone. We're going to include house calls, so if you need, if you're incapacitated for whatever reason and you're at home and you can't get out, we're going to do within a reasonable distance from our clinic. But
so newborns, elderly, someone who's had an accident, you know, somebody for whatever reason or acutely ill, I don't really want you in the clinic if you have the flu. I'll come see you.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, and I remember what I was going to say before, which was about the administrators.
Yes.
And we have a really great Facebook page, FYI. So if you're also interested in Charlottesville Direct Primary Care and you want to look at more information, go to our website, or come, if you're on Facebook, like us on Facebook, because we've been sharing lots of interesting information. We have a graph that shows like the increase in administrators over a certain period of time compared to the number of physicians, and it's striking.
Yeah.
And I want to say also that I don't think that it was ill-intentioned, you know, the growth in administrators. Like, I think that they had good intentions with trying to improve care and systems of care, but it's kind of blown up and kind of now starting to have a negative effect. And so each person who's involved wants to have some cut of the profit of everything you order, be it labs or imaging or physician visits or medicines. And so, like, this, the cost has gone crazy. You would never go to a restaurant and say, give me the cheeseburger without knowing how much it costs.
Right.
You know? So, like, you know, the way it's used in the current model is you would order a cheeseburger, and then after, like, 2 months later, they're going to, like, say, oh, well, this modifier, the jalapeno modifier was added. I heard this whole, like, story, another person talking about DPC, you know? And then, like, eventually, you know, you get a bill that shows how much you pay for your cheeseburger, you know? Or, like, you would go to a tennis lesson, and you would get you would never go to the tennis lesson without knowing how much that was going to cost.
Right.
Like, you know, oh, we worked on the serve, so we're going to add another $25 to your bill. Oh, we worked on the volley, so we're going to add another $25 a bill. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It does make sense.
We really want to focus on transparency. So we want you to see know what you're getting beforehand and know what you're paying for beforehand before you even, you know, go through with whatever it is that you need.
No, I went to dinner in Europe and in France, and at the end of the meal, there was a charge that I didn't recognize, and I asked him, and he said that was for the butter. And I said, we didn't use the butter. He says, yeah, but it was on the table. Yeah. Nice. So there you go. Yeah. You know, that's exactly a perfect example. It.
Yeah.
It blew me away.
Yeah. So you just get these surprise bills like 2 months later, and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that was going to be $250.
$17 for a Tylenol?
Yeah, right.
$200 for an ice pack?
Right.
Really?
Right.
You know, and that you're going to refreeze and use it again?
Right.
Mm-mm.
I know.
Yeah, right? And then, you've got and the premiums for insurance have gone up faster than wages. It's amazing. And it's like, well, gosh, you know, what are we to do? There's so many people don't pay attention to the little guy, you know? And quite frankly, that's what made this country, you know, go in the first place. We're lots of workers, you know, worker bees, if you will, you know, providing to a common goal, and people felt part of everything. And of course, like the doctors would go to your house, or, you know, and they knew you, and, you know, they would see you in town. Hey, how are you?
Yeah.
You feeling better? You know, whatever, you need to see me, whatever, you know, and that's been lost.
Well, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about just what's happening with insurance. And, you know, there's a big discussion in the United States right now about, you know, healthcare for all, Medicare for all, how we do this. And I don't have any specific answers, but I've had the opportunity to live for 16 years in Europe. So I lived under, you know, the auspices of, you know, Medicare for all or universal healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had to wave my magic wand and say I'd live in this system that we have currently versus Europe's system, in a heartbeat, I would say Europe's system. Just because to see everybody taken care of was a doctor's dream. So I had to go to the ER on a Christmas Eve thinking, based on my own experience training in New York City, I would be there for hours and hours and hours.
Right.
I was there for 20 minutes.
Oh my.
So it was a beautiful thing. So I think, obviously, I totally support healthcare for all, universal healthcare. How we get there, I think will be an interesting process. And this is how Lindsay and I are choosing to deliver the best healthcare we know is possible for us, and to also make our lives balanced.
It really sounds right. And, you know, I talk to people on our show here of To Your Health only on 94.7 WPVC and about the farm system, the factory farm system, mm-hmm. versus local, and I found that we could provide enough food for the country using the local farm method, not the factory method. And of course, the factory food system, again, is broken, very much like the hospital food and the healthcare mm-hmm. system, and it's to the point where it's poisoning us, because they're using Roundup and other herbicides and pesticides. And then feeding the animals antibiotics, not because they're sick, to help them grow. And, you know, I did my research. I found out that, you know, young children that were underweight were given antibiotics to help them grow, to gain weight, because that's mm-hmm. what it does. Well, obviously, you know, you're taking 12 antibiotics every time you eat some chicken from the factory food system or beef, and then you need an antibiotic, and your body goes, nah. You know, try another one. In the meantime, you might, you know, your infection gets out of hand. So the
antibiotic resistance
almost, exactly.
It's a huge problem, and, you know, that's a whole discussion about animals and antibiotics.
Yeah.
I could talk about that for an hour, but I will tell you that they're doing studies on umbilical cord blood, and infants in our country are being born with over 500 different chemicals in their umbilical cord blood. So what does that tell us? So, yes, I really promote eating organic food, growing your own food, buying locally, buying food without antibiotics and growth hormones. These are really important things, and cutting down on the amount of animal proteins that you're using, just because we don't need excessive amounts of it.
No, about 4 ounces a day is good. And of course, I won't go into my eating habits. I eat a little bit more.
We'll talk about that after.
But to bring it back to DPC.
Right, that was just going to say, care, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
These are the things we can go over. Food diaries and what people are eating, because we have the time and the relationship with our patients, our members, to be able to do that.
Yeah, I was just about to draw that back, because that's exactly what it is. You've got the factory health care system, or whatever. It's not health care. I'm sorry. It's not something, you know, symptom, you know, treating symptoms. I don't know.
Problem-focused insurance system.
There you go. That's exactly right. Yes, that's it. And then, you know, and then you've got, and then you guys, you know, you're like the small family farm community.
We're the local small business physician clinic.
Taking care of things that heretofore were not taken care of in the big healthcare system.
I think it's important also to say that we are that, but we also work within the bigger system.
Well, right.
You know? So
yeah.
like if someone needs an MRI, you know, and they need a prior authorization for the MRI, we're going to work hard within the system to get that approved for our patient, you know.
Right.
When they have insurance and they want to utilize their insurance, we also have options outside of insurance that we can compare. And so even if someone has an insurance plan and they need an MRI, we can look at the cash pay one versus out of your insurance, and we can talk about which one is easier on your wallet, you know. But we are modern board certified family docs.
Like, yes.
We are practicing high level good medicine, but within a different kind of small town, local, small business
framework.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And to talk about preventative.
Yeah, and we have relationships with all of the specialists in town. Like, we've both been practicing in Charlottesville for a while, so we know people, and we're going to be calling them, and, like, you know, we're, you know, if you need a cardiologist, or you need a urologist, or you need whoever in the community, you know, to take care of your complex medical issue, like, we're going to send you, we're going to call them, we're going to talk to them, we're going to try and help you, advocate for you within the bigger health system, because we have more time to do that.
Oh, man. Oh, that's okay, sold. Where do I sign up?
And some people may ask, well, you know, why do you do this monthly fee? And the model is set up that the only way, by keeping our overhead low, Lindsay and I are doing everything. We don't have a front desk person. We don't have an office manager. We don't have someone who comes in and cleans for us or draws our blood. It's us. So, you know, that's how we keep our overhead low. That's how, you know, you also learn a business from the bottom up. So, you know, those are all.
And we're only going to take a limited amount of memberships.
Yeah.
So.
So I was talking about monthly fees. So the reason we have to do that, that's how we can, you know, keep the lights on and do a low monthly fee, is by having, just knowing we have kind of this constant level of income, which, you know, keeps the lights on and the doors open, at the same time taking care of patients. And in direct care, you do have a much smaller panel, because both Lindsay and I feel one of the reasons, you know, medicine as it's structured now is so difficult is because of the sheer number of patients that you are tasked to take care of, which is usually somewhere between 1,200 to 2,200 for your average family physician. And, you know, I'll leave you to see how good that would be.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
We're limiting to 300 each.
Yes.
So, you know, we want to keep it small so we can take really good care of you.
Well, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And the fact that you actually do care about the patient, and you're doing it for that, you know, doctor-patient relationship, or from a patient's perspective, as opposed to, hey, I'm going to be a doctor and get rich.
Oh, yeah. We didn't go into this.
No.
we are doing this because we want to be healers.
Yeah.
You know, we want to take care of people. We want that meaning of the relationship much more than having, you know, some big, crazy lifestyle, you know.
Yeah, well, I had a nurse practitioner on here about a year ago talking about food as medicine.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And yeah, you know.
Yeah,
you
could
talk about that if in your own personal experiences or...
Sure. I mean, I've been an organic food junkie since, since I was 16, and to me, food is medicine. What we put in our bodies will determine just so much, our mood, our energy level, how our skin looks, how our stamina is, how sharp we are mentally. Food is the primary medicine. It is our fuel.
It's also about the microbiome, you know, and what you eat turns into bacteria in your body, and you're feeding the bacteria in your body, and so a certain type of bacteria is going to grow depending on what you're eating.
Yep.
And that bacteria, there's so much studies and interesting science right now about the microbiome and how it affects your immune system and what, you know...
Your mood.
Everything.
Yeah.
So... Yes.
Yeah, like cheese. I mentioned,
cheese is good.
I mentioned that, you know, and I was reading where casein goes right to your opioid receptors because it's technically casomorphin.
Oh, yeah.
And then the factory food system adds casein to all kinds of food. So that you will then become addicted.
Ah,
yeah, it's just, it's nefarious unless you're eating really good cheese.
We could talk all day about food and the controversies about all the different kinds of diets and the fads and what to eat and what not to eat. And, you know, but that, again, it's very individual. And
it's always changing. Mm-hmm. And we always have to remember, doctors are not gods. They don't know everything. We are learning and developing and changing our minds. What was considered science 50 years ago often is not now. I mean, I can cite many examples of medications or things that we did that we thought was a good idea at the time. So, you know, in terms of my relationship with patients, you know, first of all, I don't even like the word patient, really. And I certainly don't like the word provider. It's a partnership. It's a partnership between me and, for lack of a better word, patient, but human who has their own needs and backgrounds and thoughts on how, you know, they want to live their life. Some people care a lot more about certain lifestyle choices than others. So I have to meet the patients where they are. But my job is to just try to present the knowledge to the best of my ability as I know it today, knowing that, you know, medicine is fallible. We can make mistakes. We can be wrong. And I think there's some basic things about nutrition, sleep, mental health, those kinds of things that, you know, we always need to cover. But it is a partnership for me. Patients don't come in and I tell them what to do. I discuss things as they want to discuss them, as I think is warranted or important in their case.
Absolutely.
No, man.
So there are a couple other things I want to make sure that we mention before time is up.
Okay, we're actually going to take a quick break here. And we are back. This is MC Blair, and I am talking with Doctors Rebecca Downey and Lindsay Neal of Direct Primary Care. Oh, my goodness. I am so excited to be talking to these great docs today. And in the meantime, next Saturday from 12 until 2 at Rebecca's, they'll be there to answer your questions. So make sure you get down there to Rebecca's next Saturday, the 3rd of August, from noon until 2, and meet the doctors. Yeah. So let's go. What you had something you wanted to say, Lindsay.
Just before Lindsay gets started, I just want to say if anybody has questions for us, they can always just go to our website, www.charlottesvilledirectprimarycare.com. And our email link is in there, and you can email us. We are right now doing lots of meets and greets for people, and we are happy to talk to you or meet with you.
So you're not seeing patients yet until the
September 3rd.
Okay.
Yes.
And until our clinic is open, we've been kind of roaming around, meeting people in coffee shops and stuff. So, but
we're homeless right now.
We're homeless right now, but we're making it work. So
I love it. I love it. You know, and I said patients. I'm sorry, prospective partners.
That's right.
Yeah.
How's that? Yeah.
I like it.
And if you pre-enroll before September 3rd, you waive your enrollment fee, so you can get a $95 discount.
Oh my! Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we had some docs here that were functional medicine, and they've since moved out of the area. But the initial fee was like $500, I think, or $350, and it was they gave you a physical and they checked it all out and all that sort of thing, and then it was per visit and it was high.
Yeah.
Very, and good docs, don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
But kind of priced themselves out of the mainstream market.
Well, I'll tell you why. Some I can't speak to their situation, but the reason that we have an enrollment fee is because what we do want to avoid is people coming in for, 1 to 3 months. You can stop at any time, so we don't hold you to a contract. If you decide after 3 months, oh, this isn't for me, okay, that's great. We want to make sure you want to be with us, and if you don't, then that's fine too. But this kind of helps prevent people jumping on and off because we need that consistency of overhead coverage costs to make it work for all
the
our
goal
other
is
patients.
The patient relationship. Yeah. We can't have a relationship with in one visit or three visits.
We want this long term.
Right. Sure. That makes sense. That makes sense. Well, you're going to get my wife as a pre-enrollee. Guaranteed. So just if you're listening, honey, we found our doctor.
Well, we look forward to meeting her.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. She's a great person. You will totally enjoy it. So I know that we talked about lack of access for most people, and
most people have their insurance through their employer, and one of the things that's happened as we started our kind of putting ourselves out there and like our website getting out there is that we've had so many small business employers call us to say, hey, can we work with you? And so we have had several meet and greets with small business owners trying to figure out for them how to provide medical care, primary care services for their employees. Some people just buying insurance for their employees is just out of their price range, but they want to help people. Like, so this could potentially meet that gap for them. So I have one small business that I'm working with who they have, most of their employees have insurance from their spouses or from other sources, but then there's like a small group of them that they just don't have anything, and they're missing work because they're sick, or they, are getting like
musculoskeletal.
They have
complaints.
Exactly. Yeah. Employers want musculoskeletal coverage. They want They want cancer preventative coverage, and they want help with like cardiometabolic, like diabetes and hypertension help, because those are the things that people are going to miss work for. But call us and talk to us, and so we can potentially make some discounts or negotiate a contract with you to help you provide medical care for your employees.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you're right. The small business, and we hear the our government talk about small businesses, less than 500 employees. I'm going, my goodness gracious.
This is for people with less than 10.
Right, exactly. Real small businesses, less than 500.
We have a business with four employees who have picked up our services.
Now, see, that's excellent.
Yeah.
And then and the fee's based on the age. So if they're, they're in their 20s and they're paying $40 a month or whatever that, I know it's low, and then it goes to, anyway, it goes up and I have to pay $100, but that's because I'm old. That's okay. I don't mind. It's actually less than Part B Medicare, folks.
Right.
And that's a pretty big deal.
And we recommend, of course, that employers consult their accountants to talk about the tax implications of that. But our understanding is that if an employer buys a membership for their employees, that that's tax deductible for them as a service for their employees.
And we just want to re-mention health savings accounts. So that's pre-tax money that you can put away. It can now be used to pay for direct care memberships.
I mean, most people are given like a credit card that you can take to CVS and pay for your pharmacy things, but you can use that credit card when you enroll online for our services, and then you can just utilize your HSA for the direct membership, the direct primary care membership fee.
That's amazing. And the other thing that I noticed is that if you live to be 100, it's only $1 a month.
Yeah.
And so that's my motivation.
That's right.
I want to be there when I'm 103, buck a month. Yeah.
And we're not going to nickel or dime people either, So, we want to make this easier on people. So.
Yeah. No, I see it. I just see this great partnership, coming together and in the local community-based medicine. I talk about community-based agriculture all the time. Well, how about community-based medicine? Mm-hmm. That's really what you guys are doing. And I mean, this is just amazing.
And it's happening in cities, small towns, big towns. Direct care is exploding. Right now I think there's about, there's almost 1,200 direct care clinics throughout the United States. And in 48 states, they're covering at least 250,000 patients. So it is exploding, and we truly believe, as part of this kind of movement, that it could really help to reel in healthcare costs for this country while providing much better care. So
I can see that. I really can. You got something else. I know you got something.
You can talk about Josh.
I think that we just wanted to say, we're not, this isn't new. Like, we aren't the spearheaders here.
Right.
Like, there are almost 1,200 doctors across the country practicing direct primary care. It was formed kind of in the mid-2000s by a few physicians in kind of middle America who were trying to figure out how to do something different, mm-hmm.
They saw how unhappy some of their colleagues who had gone into primary care were. And they decided they wanted to do it a different way.
They were family docs.
Yeah.
The spearhead kind of leaders, and the beauty of it is that they are all supporting us. I just came back from the American Academy of Family Physicians conference, the DPC Summit, mm-hmm. where I met all of these early adopters, and they're all so supportive, and so we have a network of people, to support us along the way. So,
it's true. Then, so you can consult with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
All these other docs.
I have never been in a community. People are so supportive of each other. And if you have a question, we have Facebook, private Facebook groups. You just post your question. You know, people will jump in, help to guide you, help through the process of setting up a DPC clinic. I'm not very business minded. I'm a bookie.
Shout outs to community local people, Lily Hargrove and Mara McLaughlin and Cindy Richards. They're all practicing mm-hmm. direct primary care in Charlottesville.
Or outside.
They're in the outskirts. We're in downtown Charlottesville. If you're in there in any of those physicians' areas, we definitely recommend them. We all work together.
What's the line on the Virginia? Game. No, I'm kidding.
Not that kind of movie.
I know. It was so wide open, I had to jump in there.
You're a gambler at heart.
That's right. Yes, sir. And I guess the other thing I wanted to ask about, and I know there's a lot of folks out there that are overcovered with their insurance.
Yeah.
Right? So how does that,
Well, it doesn't really. I don't think it has anything to do with us directly. I think we have a problem in this country where you have too much insurance. I mean, insurance mm-hmm. was really meant for when you have an accident, if you get seriously ill. It was never meant to cover your kind of routine daily stuff, your ear infections, your stubbed toe, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Often in DPC, they'll say it's like a car. You don't use your insurance to go get an oil change or rotate your tires. You are expected to maintain your car, and then for all the emergency stuff, if you had an accident, you would use your insurance. And in this way, we believe healthcare would benefit greatly to going back to that kind of model, where patients are invested in it because they're having to put out a little bit of money. The country can't afford where we are right now. Direct care seems like the perfect solution because you're putting out a very reasonable amount of monthly money, and it's always there for you. And you have that continuity of care. By the way, my patients will pretty much only see me unless I'm on vacation, and Lindsay's patients will only see her. Not many of us can say that anymore. When we go to our doctor, it's like whoever's available.
That's true.
So I will tell you, as a physician, I absolutely that would drive me nuts because mm-hmm. I would have to reread things, and people do things differently, and you're catching up, and by the time you catch up, your appointment's over anyway. So this way you are just with the same person going forward, and that is a really reassuring thing.
So the current system is unsustainable.
In my opinion, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So we want a sustainably grown medicine, if you will, but local. And that's what is so what's so cool is you're getting the excellence, you're getting the high quality care, and which right now, docs it's very difficult to provide that because they're overloaded.
Well, one of the things that's that I heard when I was at the DPC summit was like the reason why a patient comes to see the doctor often won't come out until like minute 28 or minute 58, you know.
Right.
So like we are looking forward to having the time to spend with people to listen to what's going on and to diagnose, to have time to like figure out what's going on instead of just like, you know, let me do this right now and then have you come back next week or have you come back next month or whatever.
Yeah, so it's like you talk to them, you might ask them, how's your home life? How's your work life? Right?
Right.
You're a parent. How's it going with your kids? And that eventually will get around to
maybe it leads
real
to all sorts of interesting things.
Or yes. It may trigger something for you to say, oh, that's could be the cause of why I'm seeing this person.
And the more questions we can ask, especially when you're trying to diagnose something, because not everything's straightforward, and the more questions you can ask and the more the patient can interact with you, the more likely you are to need less testing because you're narrowing down the scope of the possibilities of your differential diagnosis.
Right.
And, you know, so often because of lack of time, we just order, you know, a battery of tests or send you for this, you know, ultrasound or CT or to a specialist because we haven't had the time to really tease through what really seems likely here. And so to me, that's the beauty of medicine because I love, you know, the detective work of being a doctor.
That's it. That was just what I was thinking, you know, the old Columbo, you know,
yeah.
Getting in there and getting down and getting down to the roots like, oh, well, before you leave, I've got one more question for you, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I can see that. And also I can see that after that, after a visit like that, a partner patient, if you will.
Start calling them PPs, partner patients.
and, you know, they go out and they go, wow, that's really cool. They really care about me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is going to show and then word of mouth. You know, and you'll get your 300 really, you know, pretty quick, I think. I really do.
Well, we want this model to grow. I mean, of course, we want our business to be successful.
Of course.
But we want this model to grow because I mean, patients love it. Mm-hmm. When they're in it, they can't
Well, and then as it goes, if it's successful, there'd be room for one or two or three or four more.
Absolutely.
You know, in town.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, oh, my gosh, I could just see this thing really growing.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, you guys.
You'll have to have us on again.
Oh, absolutely.
After we've been open
for a couple of 3 months.
And we'll talk about it again.
We'll talk about that and maybe even have a, you know, somebody
like a
else.
A patient come on.
I was
us.
Just going to say, yeah, absolutely. Somebody that can really speak to the person. What am I trying to come up with?
Their perspective.
Personal perspective.
Of, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they care about me. And they want to stop this malady that's in me, and they're going to help me in all sorts of ways, not only pills, but also diet and exercise, all the things that
just
you go along.
Life.
And I'm sure you have some exercise programs that somebody can do, you know, practically in their bed or sitting down, you know, moving things.
Yeah, we hope to offer it actually in our office. At, you know, we have to start small, and we will build certain services that we're able to offer as, you know, time goes on. But that's one of the things we definitely want to do is, you know, have physical therapy in the office, have people who are teaching yoga, who are teaching other
like group meditation and
nutrition,
all kinds of things to add value to the membership.
I would like to teach cooking because I love to cook.
Oh man.
So nutritional cooking,
yes.
You know, how to do that on a budget. So there are things that we want to do, and some of our patients have even come in to us to offer their skills, which we would absolutely love to bring into our clinic.
Well, I you know, was a cook in a former life, and, you know, catering chef and all that, and I'd love to bring my little my little portable stove in there, my walk, and let's get some good lunch going. You know?
It's going to be our next show with you.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
We're going to do cooking
DPC
with,
dinners.
Right.
Yes.
DPC dinners, right?
With Mike McLair.
Yeah, dinners to go for the busy pro, you know? That's it. That's exactly right. This has been really great, folks.
Oh, it's been
you
fun
guys,
for us. Thank you.
Guys, you. I just really want to thank Drs. Rebecca Downey and Lindsay Neal of Direct Primary Care. I want to thank Rebecca's for being a great sponsor, and of course Hamilton's as well. And they are going to be at Rebecca's from noon till 2. That's this next Saturday, the 3rd of August, answering the questions. And get on down there, I'm telling you.
Come meet us in person.
Yes, exactly. Tell in person. It should be really good. Reducing your costs, no co-pays. They don't deal with insurance companies except, like for certain tests and all that. But, in most cases, you'll find that the monthly fee pays for itself in, no co-pays. And I've always said, if you're eating healthy, less co-pays, And, of course, so if you're eating healthy, then with you guys, then there's no co-pays. So this is really, really good. It's been just a fun time. Just remember, folks, that eating healthily and getting some really great medical care from Direct Primary Care and keeping a good attitude are keys to your health.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The name of the business is Charlottesville Direct Primary Care.
Direct Primary Care, and they can be accessed online at
www.charlottesvilledirectprimarycare.com.
There you go. Thanks again.